move this. That way, hopefully, it'll pick up your piano a little better. All right, praise the Lord, everyone. Well, you never quite know what's going to happen next. Of course, on Sunday, we had some trouble locating batteries for a lavalier microphone, and tonight, the pedal on the baby grand broke. We tried to pop it back in there, and it came out again. So we're actually going to use her portable keyboard tonight, and we're going to continue on with our worship service, and we'll try to get that piano squared away as soon as possible. But praise God, we're going to continue on like we always do, and we're going to open with a prayer first and foremost tonight. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness. We thank thee for this opportunity to be in thy presence, and we ask, Lord, that thy spirit would be here, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon all thy people, those who are in this building and those who are listening online and those who will hear this recording later. We ask, Lord, for thy anointing to be here, that thy perfect will be accomplished, and fill us with a desire to draw near to thee, fill us with a desire to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We ask, Lord, that thy presence would be felt by all. Inspire us, O God, to be like thee, O God. Inspire us to want to get close to thee, Lord. Help us, O God, to reach that heavenly place with thee, so that we may be in heavenly places with Christ Jesus here this night. We pray, Lord, that each and everything we do here today would be pleasing in thy sight and according to thy perfect will. And we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We're going to start with number 94 in the chorus book tonight. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him. Number 94. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him, for his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him, for his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him, for his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Well, let's turn now to number 68 and sing He's the Lord of Glory, number 68. For He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise the Lord. Let's turn now to number 110 in the chorus book and sing He's My Bread When I'm Hungry. Number 110. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Well, we're going to turn now to number 44 and sing Give Unto the Lord, number 44. Mm-hmm.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, we don't sing some of these choruses very often, but maybe we should. Let's look at number 35 right across the page and sing, I Love Him Better Every Day. Number 35.
I love Him better every day. I love Him better every day. Close by His side, there all abide, for I love Him better every day. I love Him better every day. I love Him better every day. Close by His side, there all abide, for I love Him better every day. I love Him better every day. I love Him better every day. Close by His side, there all abide, for I love Him better every day.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, why not sing number 36? I love Jesus best of all. Number 36.
For He saves my soul from sin, gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in His name, and of Him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all. For He saves my soul from sin, gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in His name, and of Him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all. For He saves my soul from sin, gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in His name, and of Him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all. for he saves my soul from sin, and gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in his name, and of him I'm not ashamed, for I love Jesus best of all. Hallelujah! Thank you, God. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, sometimes when we're singing one chorus, it makes me think of another. So now we're going to turn to number 112 and sing, I Want More of Jesus, number 112. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich, so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his great love, so it's so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich, so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich, so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus here tonight. Let's turn to number 85 and sing, Give Me Oil in My Lamp, number 85. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing a hosanna, sing a hosanna, sing a hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing a hosanna, sing a hosanna, sing a hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing hosanna, sing hosanna, sing hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing hosanna, sing hosanna, sing hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp,
I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing a Hosanna, sing a Hosanna, sing a Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing a Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank
you. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, we do need to keep that oil in our lamps. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord, because we certainly could be a lot closer than most people think. I tell you what, you look around at what's happening in the world, and it really feels like we are getting close, doesn't it? I tell you what, the longer this world goes on, the worse off it's going to get down here. So I'm actually looking forward to the day when our Savior does return. Of course, we know that it is His mercy and His grace that He hasn't come already, because we know that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. He is still gathering His people together. He is still gathering the harvest. And one day, that final person is going to repent, and He knows exactly who that person is. So until that day comes, we need to keep our lamps burning. We need to have the oil of the Holy Ghost working in us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I know it's an intense world right now when you look at everything that's happening, and of course they're really pushing forward with those vaccines now, and I thought this was interesting too. Joe Biden, of course, he said that he doesn't think that the vaccines should be mandatory, but at the same time he's hoping to have 100 million Americans vaccinated within his first 100 days as President of the United States. And there's one lawmaker in New York State who has proposed that if there aren't enough people in the state of New York who voluntarily take the vaccine, that they should make it mandatory in New York State. Now, this is a proposal. And, you know, I've mentioned some of the other proposals they have. You know, another proposal is you might try to convince people to take the vaccine by, you know, tying it to a stimulus check, offering maybe $1,500 if they take it. That's another proposal. They have all of these proposals to try to get people to take it. And by the way, they've started the vaccination process in the United Kingdom. And oddly enough, the first man to be vaccinated, his name was William Shakespeare. And then there's a 90-year-old woman who was also vaccinated. But there are already reports of side effects and illnesses tied to these vaccination shots. And we're still very early in this whole process. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in these days ahead. But we certainly need to be ready, because these are days unlike any other days that we've ever experienced before. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the future holds. But I do know that the Lord is with us and He will never forsake us. Praise the Lord. And with that thought in mind, we're now going to turn this over to Shirley. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Might move this over to the other side. You might be a little more comfortable.
Okay, let's see here.
All right. There you go.
Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for his goodness, his mercy, his abundant compassion toward us. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad I have the Lord. I'm so glad you have the Lord tonight. Oh my, what a difference it has made in our lives. Praise our God. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, there are a lot of dilemmas in this world, that is for sure. But oh my, how the Lord helps us. Amen. How he makes a way for his people. And I'm so glad here tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's begin by prayer here tonight and ask God to have his way. Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you, God, again for thy mercy and thy goodness. This opportunity that you've given us, Lord. Oh, God, we know not, oh, Lord, the days ahead, or, oh, God, what may come our ways. But, Lord, I just pray that you would equip us, Lord. I pray that you would breathe upon us. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would put your spirit within us. Oh, God, I pray that you would move, Lord, that you give us faith, Lord, to believe you, Lord. Oh, God, to rest in thy promises, to know thee, Lord. Oh, God, to go forward and to believe thee, Lord, no matter what. Oh, God, put that within us, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. And I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd work here tonight. God, you know every need, every situation. Oh, God, every individual that is struggling. God, you know all the health issues and, oh, God, the great needs. I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd reach down from heaven, Lord, that you would give us faith, Lord, that you give us reassurances. Oh, God, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, we fight the battles of this life, God. Oh, Lord, give us strength that comes from thee. Oh, give us knowledge, give us wisdom, Lord, give us faith. Make a way of escape for us, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, for we know not what is going to happen, Lord, and what will come our way. But, Lord, I pray, oh, God, that you keep your people, Lord. Oh, God, that you give us faith here tonight as we go into thy word and read it and now meditate upon it, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd use this word, Lord. Oh, God, I can do nothing without you, Lord. I pray that you'd use me, Lord, oh, God, to bring it forth as thou would ordain, Lord God. Oh, Lord, you know your people. You know their struggles, Lord. Reach down and touch tonight, Lord. Move the mountains that need to go, Lord. Give us faith, Lord. Oh, God, I ask that you help Mackenzie, Lord. If she's struggling today, tonight, I pray, oh, God, that you take her over the mountain, Lord. That you give her, oh, Lord, that strength that she needs. And, oh, Lord, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, the battle would be won, Lord Jesus. Give her faith, Lord. Give her healing, Lord. Let thy touch be felt, Lord. Oh, God, all of your children, Lord, for you know each and every need, Lord. Oh, God, all these individuals, Lord, reach down and touch tonight, Lord. Help those that are discouraged. Oh, God, help those that need an extra boost from thee, Lord. Help those that need to repent and turn to thee. Oh, God, you know our struggles, Lord. You know, oh, God, every need, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you would work, Lord. Oh, God, help your people, Lord. Help Wild with her arm, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you'd heal her, Lord, that you'd help her, Lord. Oh, God, all your children, Lord, I know we all have needs. I pray that you would work tonight in the name of Jesus, God, that you give us strength and give us victory. Lord, I give this service over to thee and ask that thou would work. Let the devil be bound and let him have no opportunities, Lord. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. All thanks be to our God. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. I first thought I was going to go in a different direction when I started studying today, and oh my, but then things begin to change as often they do when I get into God's Word. But we are going to call this message, Glorify Ye the Lord in the Fires. Glorify Ye the Lord in the Fires. Praise the Lord, taken from Isaiah chapter 24. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans here as we begin tonight. I just want to read a few scriptures here from Romans, the 5th chapter. Praise our God. Amen. Oh, he is good. I'm so thankful that we have him. Oh, amen. Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to begin with verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 3 goes on to tell us, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, that is a hard thing to do when you're going through a trial, to turn it over to God by giving him glory. And, you know, it's quite a thing, because although it's not easy, amazing things can happen when we get to that place where we get beyond the trial, the tribulation, the pain, the suffering, all the things that are going on. Oh my, the division, all kinds of things that happen in this life. But oh my, there's something, a strength that the Lord gives us. In a way, you know, he intervenes beyond our comprehension. You know, I had a little email from my daughter Ruth, and I hope she won't mind that I mentioned this, but I didn't know these details before. But she was telling me when she was in the process of giving birth to her second child, Serena, that it was extremely difficult. The head was stuck in the birth canal, and it just didn't seem like anything was going to work. And she was at home. She was not in a hospital, and there was a midwife with her. But anyway, she said she got to the point, and the pain was very difficult. It was very excruciating. But she began to cry out to the Lord Jesus. And, you know, it was an amazing thing, because as she did that, the midwife said, she's coming. The head is visible now. And the Lord did a work. I mean, Serena was a big girl. She was over 11 pounds, if I'm remembering right. She was a big baby. And, you know, it was an amazing thing. But, you know, just in the middle of travail there, this mother cried out to the Lord Jesus. And God did a miracle. Oh my, how many times have we been there? In a place where there was a mountain in our way, there was something very, very difficult, and we didn't know what to do. But oh my, our God is never stuck. He's never confused. He's never confounded. He always has an answer. And praise the Lord, when we cry out to him with all our heart and just let the reserves go, he knows how to answer in amazing ways. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And praise the Lord. Yes. Glory in God, even in tribulations. Oh, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? Oh, yes, I want to read another little scripture here from the book of John, and this would be John, the 16th chapter here, and just to the end here. Praise the Lord. John 16, verse 33. Jesus is ending his discourse here, there, that he was, you know, this very beloved discourse here as he was actually on his way to Gethsemane, I believe. But here he said in verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus did not tell us that, you know, we're going to be scot-free of pain and suffering and hardships, tribulation. He didn't say that. No, in fact, he said the opposite. He said, in the world, ye shall have tribulation. But praise the Lord, there's encouragement here. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Our Savior, our example, overcame all the trials and all the tests that came before Him. Oh, yes, He overcame every single one. And because He did it, because He sent back His Spirit that we might be filled with the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, we too can overcome this world. Oh, praise the Lord. It's not always easy. In fact, most of the time, it doesn't seem very easy. There's twists and confusion so many times. And, you know, things we don't always understand and comprehend. But praise the Lord, we serve an amazing God. And He knows how to help us. Praise the Lord. He knows how to help us. He's there. Oh, yes, in those times of trials. He's there when we're struggling. He sees our needs. And oh my, He's waiting for us to cry out to Him in faith and to believe Him. Oh yes, and to take hold of His promises. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to go to Isaiah chapter 24. And hopefully I will get to do both chapters 24 and 25 here tonight. But oh my, the Lord had put these chapters on my heart. I suppose a few days ago, maybe even a week or two ago. And, you know, honestly, sometimes you just can't get away from it. But praise the Lord. Let's look here at Isaiah chapter 24 here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It says in verse 1, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattered abroad the inhabitants thereof. And, you know, I want you to note right away as we begin this chapter 24 of Isaiah that this is not happening coincidentally or earth of its own accord. It's the Lord that is making this happen. And I think that's something we need to keep in mind with all these goings on in the world right now. We have a Heavenly Father who is in charge. And yes, He sees what's going on. He knows what's going on. But yet there are things that must go on to complete His plan. Oh yes, to bring this earth, this world to its end. And I thank God that we can trust the Lord Jesus. Amen. We can put our faith, our trust, our hope in Him. But yes, it tells us clearly here in this first verse, it is the Lord that maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Verse 2 goes on to say, and it shall be, as with the people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. And oh my, I think this scripture is telling us there that people at this point have been brought down to the same level. It doesn't matter if you are a priest or if you're one of his congregants or if you're a servant or if you're the master. You've got everybody on the same level here as this verse is bringing out. And I don't know what that is, but I just was recalling as I was studying today many years ago. I had a brother-in-law, Dave Waite, and anyway, he's gone on to his reward, he's left this world at this point, and anyway, there was what they said that really stuck with me, I guess I'll have to say. And again, I trust he did make his peace with the Lord. I know he had some rough times. And when I first got to know him, we lived in Appleton the first 2 years after we were married. And Dave Waite and his wife, the family, all lived in Appleton too. So we did have some occasions to get together. But he was a Lutheran, pretty much. And one thing he said is that he was glad that he had a minister who would drink with him. And that was one thing he was known for, all his booze. And anyway, I thought that was really something. I can't imagine having somebody be my pastor and you know, think that they were a drunk. But anyway, or even given to alcohol. But in this case, this individual, was happy for that association, that, you know, his pastor, the minister, would be on his same level. He liked that. I guess there was no conviction, therefore, you know, because if he was doing it, then must be okay for, you know, the other to do it. But, oh, yes, it's talking about a time here in verse 2 here, Isaiah 24, where, yeah, it's just, you know, the same level all around here. But I'll tell you what, speaking of a time, oh, yes, at the end of the world, it tells us in verse 3, the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. For the Lord has spoken this word. And again, notice, this is God's proclamation. These are God's words. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. And I can't help but think of, this is such a reverse of how it was when God began to speak his creation into existence and, you know, put it all into his order and brought forth out of the empty void that was on the deep, you know, the earth as it was at the beginning, and he began to speak life and put everything in order. Of course, that wonderful creation, oh, at the first was beautiful beyond comprehension, I'm sure. Not only was it beautiful, but I believe it was perfect. Oh, yes, after every one of those creational days, he said, it was good. And I believe that was his stamp of perfection of what he had done. But here in verse 3, we've got something else going on. You know, he's talking about the land being utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. Reverse of what he spoke forth when he was bringing forth life. Tells us in verse 4, the earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. And oh my, here we have, you know, this thing, everything coming to its end. The finality of sin and reality. All of this happening. And oh yes, it talks about it all languishing, you know, and it means, oh my, that that it's becoming feeble and weak. The strength is gone. The vigor is gone. Oh, you know, all the signs of life are fading at this point, as this verse describes it. And not only the features of the earth, but the haughty people of the earth do languish also. So there's a complete decline at this point. It goes on to tell us, verse 5, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Well, I think we're seeing the final outcome of sin. You know, as I just said, when God first created this earth, it was perfect. You know, he made Adam, he made Eve, and praise the Lord, they were blessed. And as long as they didn't eat of the tree that was in the midst of the garden, the forbidden tree, everything was very good. It was very good. But when sin entered into the world, everything began to change. Oh yes, God had told Adam when he put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He had told him that he could eat of every tree in the garden freely except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he explained that thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, you know, they had no comprehension of this, because again, everything was perfect, and sin had not entered into the world. And, you know, best of all, they had fellowship with God Almighty. Oh my, he walked with them in the cool of the day. My, he must have manifested himself in a form so that he could commune with them. But that day came when Eve was tempted, as we know. The serpent, who was more subtle than any other beast, actually the devil inhabited that creature, you know, tempted her. And oh my, in her confusion, she gave in to the temptation. Yes, he deceived her. You know, he being so subtle, he told the woman that, you know, ye shall not surely die. For God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so, you know, the woman, she didn't know, you know, and you know, she looked at that tree, it tells us in verse 6, here in Genesis 3, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And oh my, something happened right then and there. Right then and there. Yes, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed big leaves together and made themselves aprons. Oh my, they knew that they needed to be clothed. Oh, they had an understanding that they had not been before. And there's something else that obviously happened. It tells us that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Verse 10 says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said unto him, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And of course, you know, he went on to explain to the woman that God had given him, you know, ate of it first and gave some to him, and he took of it, and on and on and on. But anyway, you see what is happening here? Oh yes, all at once, they had a knowledge of good and evil. They realized they were naked, and they were afraid, oh yes, to meet with God, weren't they? They hid themselves. Fear came into them. Oh, they were afraid, and they were afraid to stand before God because they had sinned. And that is what sin does. Oh, we need so desperately to give that sin over to God. If we're going to stand before God, we've got to acknowledge it. We've got to repent. We've got to turn it over to the Lord while we still can. Because it will separate us from God otherwise. Oh, yes. I thank God. Oh, God made a way that we could be forgiven of our sins, that we could give our sins, we could commit them over to our loving Savior with the knowledge that He would forgive us. Praise the Lord, that He would make a way that those sins could be taken from our being, oh yes, from our lives, so that one day we can stand before God and not be afraid. To have boldness in the day of judgment. To be able to be standing before the Lord and hear Him say, well done, amen. So we know that things definitely changed. And there were curses that were put upon the earth. There was a curse that was put on man. There was a curse that was put upon the woman. There was a curse that was put upon the serpent. There was a curse that was put upon the earth. And nothing was the same after that point. And I know they didn't fall over dead immediately. But you know what happened? Death began to work in their bodies. Their cells began to die. And there was a great difference from their former existence. Oh yes, death entered into the world when sin came into the world. It was never the same. It was cursed. But praise the Lord, there was one who came into the world to atone for our sin so that we might be forgiven our sins and our trespasses, that we might have access unto God. And oh yes, like I said, we might be able to stand before God Almighty without sin. Oh, praise the Lord. But here in Isaiah 24, we are seeing, yes, the final end of this world. You know, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise the Lord. But you know, the final outcome is death. And so we're seeing this in verse 5 here in Isaiah 24. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Oh yes, God's final judgment is, oh yes, the consequences of sin have bore their ugly old fruit. Oh yes, their ugly old wages, that death that came into the world when those sins are not forgiven. And men and women bask in their sins. Oh yes, there's going to be an end to it all. Verse 7 here in this chapter tells us, the new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry hearted do sigh, the mirth of tabrets ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoiceth endeth, the joy of the harp ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. Oh, here it is, these final moments of this outcome of sin here. Oh, as this earth is passing away, as, oh yes, it's becoming desolate, and oh, that curse is finally taking its final impact upon the face of our existence here. And oh my, as it all comes to pass, we just see that there's heaviness. Oh, there's no merry-heartedness at this point. You know, as even the new wine, oh, it says, well, mourneth the fresh fruit of the grape even, and the vine languisheth, and it's all dying, it's all, you know, decaying, it's all coming to naught. And all any merrymaking, the mirth of the tabrets ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoice endeth, the joy of the harp ceaseth, all the fun, the rejoicing, the merrymaking, all of that is gone. And oh my, you know, it's not going to be, you know, getting drunk for the pleasure of it. No, not at all. They shall not drink wine with a song. And it tells us strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. Oh, it goes on to tell us the city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. Oh my, this sounds just a little bit like some of the things that have, you know, already come to pass. Not fully, but you know, we've had these shutdowns this year, things that I never experienced before. I know my dear friends in Singapore felt it even more than we did. I know Sister Pauline, oh my, I know she really couldn't leave her house for quite a few weeks, months, I would say. And I know she didn't even get to see her sons for a period of time. You know, I know they brought her things and left it at the door. And so it was. And I know even to this point, I know Brother Samuel was telling me the other day that, you know, in China, you know, even at this point, you know, they have their methods where they're tracing everybody. And if their phone goes off with a an indicator, it tells them that they need to go home and isolate. So I don't know, it just seems like this is something that we never saw before, but oh, we're getting a glimpse into what this verse 10 is telling us here in chapter 24 of Isaiah. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. Oh my, everybody with locked doors and you know, oh my, probably maybe shutters down and everything else. I don't know what's in the making in this world. I know we could be seeing some very difficult things. But oh my, I know that through it all, we must keep our faith in God and hold on to His promises with all our being, with all our might. Oh my, we don't know what's coming forth, but here's a description, and I believe this passage here is taking us to the end of the world. It tells us in verse 11, there's a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The birth of the land is gone. And I imagine, you know, with that, the inability to get food, to get drink, to be nourished even, no happiness in this description at all. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. It tells us in verse 12, in the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. Oh my, if the gate is down, if it's smitten, if it's been attacked, then everything is left open to the prey. That gate was very important in times of old. It goes on to tell us in verse 13, with thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. I know, yes, you know, you had an olive tree and you wanted to get all the olive berries off. You know, you would shake it until all of them had fallen. Or, you know, you were gleaning grapes off the vine and you wanted every last one. You know, you would shake it in order to get all of it, the most you could. And, you know, this would be especially be the case when, you know, it's pretty well been picked over. But, oh my, there's something else going on here. In the midst of all this darkness and all this confusion and all this desolation and all this destruction and the horrible things that aren't even mentioned that obviously are happening, it seems that there are people of the Lord that have hope in their heart and that are realizing what is in the making, praise the Lord. The realization that the Lord isn't allowing it. The Lord is in charge. Oh, He is behind the scenes. And this is because of Him, praise the Lord. Oh, it tells us in verse 14, oh, we see such a contrast here. It says, they shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Oh my, could it be that there's a realization that the Lord is coming? Oh yes, that He's going to come and help us. Oh yes, that everything is going to change. And soon, oh my, there's going to be light in the tunnel. Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know, but oh my, here we have a contrast. Oh, those that shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Oh, praise the Lord, a time of rejoicing and realizing He's coming. The Lord is coming back. Oh yes, He's going to come and not tarry. Verse 15 tells us, wherefore, glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the seas, of the sea, praise the Lord. Wherefore, glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a thing here. Oh, in the midst of the fires, in the midst of the burning, in the midst of the horror, oh, praise the Lord, yet there is one that we can glorify. There is one that we can give praise to. Praise the Lord, there is one that we can sing, oh, psalms and rejoicing unto Him. There is one that we can glorify, even in the fires. And you know, God has such a way of responding when His people glorify Him. Oh, when the praises come out of our hearts and welled up inside, and oh, we begin to sing with all our heart. We begin to worship the Lord. We raise our hands and we worship Him, and oh, we cry out to Him, oh, praise the Lord. Even in the fires. Even when everything is down, even when things are desperate, maybe even in great pain, oh my, in great suffering, oh, when it looks like the enemy is at the door, perhaps it looks like there is no hope, but oh my, there is one that knows how to change the course of events. There is one that knows how to help us in our times of trouble. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord if we could just learn to glorify Him. Oh, to give Him the glory, the praise, the worship that He so deserves. He knows how to turn the events around. Oh, yes, He knows how to answer, how to intervene, how to make a way, how to open up the Red Sea. Oh, yes, our God can do it all. But praise the Lord, He's talking about a people, yes, that in the midst of great trouble and destruction, glorify God, rejoice in the God of their salvation, even in His precious saving name. Praise the Lord. Tells us in verse 16, From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. Oh my, oh, that singing, that rejoicing, the song of the overcomer. Oh yes, those that have peace in their hearts, in spite of what's going on, in spite of the darkness. Oh yes, the persecution, the suffering, the pain. Oh yes, the pangs of death even. Oh, praise the Lord, there are those, oh yes, that worship the Lord. And oh, here is a declaration from the uttermost part of the earth. Oh yes, the ends of the earth, the most distant or remote parts. Oh, there's a people that are worshiping the Lord, giving glory to God. Praise the Lord. But oh my, on the surface, doesn't look like anything to rejoice about. Oh, the verse continues here, verse 16. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Oh my, we've seen a lot of treacherousness this last year. Oh my, I do believe they have stolen an election, and I don't know, they may not get by with it. God is in charge, and he knows how to help us. Oh my, now they're bringing in their vaccine. Oh, you could see their end, you know? Just, oh boy, how they had their agenda and how they are using this so-called pandemic to bring about their end. Oh yes, a great reset even, as I've heard it called. And they shoot up people with a vaccine if they can. Oh my, you know, that's what it looked like on the surface. All these terrible things happening, all these struggles, all the treachery, all the confusion, and oh my, all the desolation. Oh, it goes on to describe it here. Verse 17, fear in the pit and the snare are upon the inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are opened, and the foundations of the earth do shake. Oh my, there isn't any escape at this point. And I just think that description there at the end of this 18th verse is interesting. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. Oh, the Lord, you know, shaking everything in such a way. You know, like it's never been seen before. It's quite a description here, you know. It's interesting because, you know, at the time of the flood, as the Lord was bringing the flood to pass, in the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis, it uses some of this same description. It says in verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Oh, I just think that's interesting. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Oh my, it had never rained before, but God opened up those windows, so to speak, and yes, the waters began to fall. And yes, soon there were floods. Oh yes, that were rising upon the face of the earth. Amen. But yeah, the windows of heaven were opened at that point. And here it talks about the same thing here as we're talking about this description at the end of the world. Verse 18 again here, Isaiah 24. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. Oh, God is in charge. Oh, and you know, he has ordained all of these things. It is in his hands. That's why we can glorify God in the fires. Oh yes, if our lives are in Christ, if our lives are in the hands of God, then in spite of all the things that are happening that seem so negative and nasty and maybe hopeless, still the Lord has given us a peace. If he has given us a hope, Oh, yes, if our life is wrought in Him, then in spite of it, we know it's going to be okay. The Lord's in charge, and yeah, it's all in His hands, and He's going to take care of it. And here, yes, as this earth is breaking up and being dissolved and moving exceedingly, it's all the shaking is going on. It's the Lord that has done it. It tells us in verse 19, the earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean, dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. We're talking about the end of this earth. Amen. Its final end. The wages of sin coming to its finality, its end, the consequences of sin. The transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it. See, there comes a point when that cup of God's wrath, all the sins, all the things that, oh yes, are in that cup. That cup is so full that it has to pour out. There has to be an end to it. And yes, I believe this is what we're seeing here. Oh yes, oh, I need this heaviness of the transgression and the falling of it. The earth, that is, to the point that it does not rise again. It tells us in verse 21, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. And then, oh, finally, at the very end, then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. Of course, we know that, oh yes, God is going to bring forth a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, we know that we can rejoice as, oh yes, this earth is crumbling as it is shaking. Oh yes, as we're seeing all these things coming to pass. We know that it is bringing us to that point when our Lord will come again. And oh yes, all the heaviness of this earth will be out. It will be gone. It will be diminished. It will no longer be a part of us. No, we will be, oh yes, set upon God's new earth, that new Jerusalem that's coming down from God out of heaven. Oh yes, that place that has been prepared for the people of the Lord. Amen. His sons, his daughters, his bride. Praise the Lord. And if we continue here in Isaiah chapter 25, I think we get even more insight into what has been described here in chapter 24. Verse 1 tells us, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Oh, I'm so glad that we can bank on God's faithfulness and his truth. Praise the Lord. Oh my, we know of that geyser in old and Yellowstone National Park, you know, that's called Old Faithful. And it's because, you know, it's reliable and it's, you know, pouring out of the lava and everything else. You know, they can pretty well predict, you know, just every so minutes, you know, I pass and you know, Old Faithful will spew out again. You know, it's predictable, in other words. So, you know, it's called Old Faithful. But, you know, there is one, oh my, old faithful could, you know, you know, do something different now and then. But we serve a God who is faithful all the time. Amen. And his counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. We can bank upon that. We can rest in his promises because they are yea and amen. He said it. It's true. His word declares it. It's true. God is faithful. You know, that we can know, that we can be assured of deep within our being. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness to truth. Oh my, what a reason to exalt our God. What a reason to praise his name. Oh, all those wonderful things that he hath done. And that, oh, assurance of knowing that his counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Verse 2 tells us, for thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. And it tells us in verse 5, thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. Oh my, I believe this is talking about the end. And it's interesting description here. You know, the heat with the shadow of a cloud. I don't know if that's possibly the Lord using man's own device, an atomic bomb or something. You know, the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. I don't know, but interesting description. But oh my, our God is going to be with his people. And the strong people can glorify God Almighty, as it tells us in verse 3 here. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. Oh, we're talking about the people who overcome. Oh, the people that are victorious. Oh, yes, that overcome the trials and the tests of this world, that have victory over this world and can stand on that sea of glass and realize, oh, that they have overcome every trial, every tribulation, everything that came their way. They, no matter what, they could stand up for the Lord and draw from his strength. No matter what was needed for the moment, we serve a God who is able to meet every need. And we can declare it. Oh, and we can glorify God, therefore. Oh, yes, the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. Oh, my. Oh, when people see the acts of the Lord, when they see his mighty works and realize, oh, this is what God hath wrought. Oh, what moments these are going to be when all these things begin to come to pass. And thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible one shall be brought low. Oh, as those armies come to fight against God. Devil thinking it's his day, I suppose. But I praise the Lord. Our God is going to come. And oh my, there is going to be a great victory that day. Zechariah chapter 14 describes it. If I read just a little portion of it, perhaps. It says Verse 1, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the cities shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and the half of it toward the south. And he shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, our God is coming. And I don't know, there's a description there. Yes, he comes to be king of all the earth. Oh, yes, to take charge, to bring forth his kingdom. Oh, yes, in its fullness. Oh, yes, in its completeness. Oh, to assemble his people and to bring it to pass. Oh, yes, that forming of his kingdom. Oh, the hosts of his people. Yes. Oh, that have lived throughout the ages. And here it is, oh, as it all comes to pass, and they try to flee in the midst of all of this. Oh, it tells about their fleeing. Oh, as the great day of the Lord is coming to pass, and people, oh yes, try to run to the hills, to the mountains, and any place where they think they might have some safety, as you see the wrath of God coming forth, oh, as he shakes this earth like it's never been shaken before. Oh, yes, and things begin to divide, and oh, yes, the hand of the Lord is strong. Oh, yes, oh, it tells us about it. Oh, yes, as all of these things happen, as that sixth seal is poured out in the book of Revelation, the sixth chapter, that sixth seal, it talks about it in the 12th verse. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh, as all these things come to pass, oh, as the Lord comes forth, oh, yes, to judge this world. Oh, yes, to put an end to sin. Oh, the great transgression. Oh, yes, and the unrepentant hearts. That, oh, yes, the lives that had not turned, oh, their beings over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, it all comes down. It comes down. You know, there's quite a description in Zechariah 14, verse 12. It says, And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Well, I'll tell you what, I want to be with the Lord. At that moment, yes. Oh, my, I want to be, oh, yes, with him. Oh, my. Under his wing. Oh, yes, under his protection as these things come to pass. And oh my, yes, there will be some of us who are alive and remain. And I don't know just how it all follows. It's going to be all very quick, I believe, one thing after the other. We've got all of these things happening on the earth. And oh yes, and then the sun and the moon and the stars falling and all of this. But oh my, the Lord is going to come. And oh, there's going to be that moment when, oh yes, those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it goes on, yes, here in Isaiah 25 to describe a bit more. It says in verse 6, "And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines and the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines and the lees well refined." And I wonder if this is a description of him taking the spoil. And besides, it tells us in verse 7, "And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over on people, and the veil that is spread over all nations." Well, all at once, it's going to be clear. It's going to be known to every individual who ever lived upon the face of this earth that, oh yes, Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh yes, it tells us, Revelation 1, verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. Oh, that veil is going to be taken off their eyes, and all the invisible God, is going to come into view. Only he won't be invisible at that moment. Oh, they're going to see him as he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as he tells us in Philippians, the second chapter. Oh, yes. Philippians 2, verse 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Oh, praise the Lord, that understanding at that moment. Oh, yes, as he comes forth. Oh, yes, bringing his people with him. Those that have gone on, and the rest of us who remain are caught up together there with them. Oh, yes, to meet the Lord. Oh, yes, in the skies. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, we have these descriptions, don't we? Yes, verse 7 says, "And he will destroy," this is in chapter 25 of Isaiah again, "and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations." Oh, they're going to get it at this moment. All the loony things they tried to do, and that, the ridiculousness of thinking that they could fight against God. No, there's no way you can fight against God and win. No, he's coming up. Oh, yes, he's coming. Oh, yes. He's coming. Oh, yes. To judge this world in righteousness, to bring an end to all the schemes of wicked men, but also to deliver his people. And oh, it tells us here in Isaiah 25, verse 8, He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. Oh, praise the Lord. The wages of sin, that death. Oh, there's going to be a victory for his people. Oh, death is going to be swallowed up in victory. All those tears are going to be wiped away from off all faces. And all that rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 9, oh, praise the Lord. And it shall be said at that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Oh, what a moment. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. In the midst of great trouble, trouble like I think never has been before. All the treachery and all the things that are coming to pass, the fear and the pit and the snare and all those that are taken up on it, and the windows from on high being opened, and the foundations of the earth are shaking. Oh yes, things like we've never seen before. Oh yes, the sun and the moon even, oh yes, coming to its end. But praise the Lord, somewhere in this scenario, our God will come and save us. Oh, he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. I believe this is talking about all the proud and the lofty being taken down at this point. Oh yes, all of it trodden down, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. Good for nothing at that point. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy wall shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. Oh, yes, I believe we're seeing in this chapter the finality of Satan's kingdom, of his schemes, of all his cunning, all his attempts. Oh, and how he has promoted his one world, and oh, how he has captivated the minds of individuals, believing that somehow, that oh my, he could gain advantage over the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But oh my, there is no way. No, our God is going to come. Oh, yes, and it's going to be over. He tells us in Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, how we need, oh, to be right in God's sight. We have a few moments to get our heart right with the Lord, to get our act right with God. How we need to listen. Oh, we're seeing things happening on the face of the earth that we never dreamed we would see. At least I don't think I did. You know, I mean, we've wondered how it would be as the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and you know, what we would see and what we would have to endure. And we're just getting a glimpse of it right now in many ways. But oh my, there is something that we can know. That our God is going to be with his people. And in spite of all the trouble in this world and all the hard things, we can give him glory. We can glorify him even in the fires, all the hard things of this life, all the things we have to endure, some things that don't make sense. And sometimes we may be crying, why? But oh, praise the Lord. There is victory in the Lord Jesus. And we know his counsels of old are faithfulness and true. And therefore, oh yes, we can exalt him. We can praise his name. We know that he has done wonderful things. And yes, therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Oh, our God is going to be with his people. And praise the Lord. We must endure until the end. We must, oh yes, keep our faith in the Lord. And yes, we want to glorify the Lord our God, even in the fires. Praise the Lord. Oh, even the name of the Lord God of Israel. Praise the Lord in the isles of the sea, wherever we are. Oh yes, whatever our condition is, whatever our need is. Oh yes. That need to glorify him, to give him the praise. Oh, the exaltation that is due him. Tells us in Psalms 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there are hard things that we endure here on this earth. But oh, we know that it's going to come to an end. And oh, there is going to be that glorious moment when, oh, death will be swallowed up in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away all tears, oh, from off the faces of his people. Oh, yes. And the rebuke of the people shall no more, oh, be upon us. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, we know there is a need to glorify the Lord. Oh yes. And what a privilege it is. What a joy it is. Oh yes, we know that he can turn every situation around and he can give hope to us, even in a time when it might seem hopeless. So praise the Lord. We can offer him praise. And glorify him. Oh yes, for we know to him that ordereth his conversation aright, he will show the salvation of God. He will show us his salvation. Praise the Lord. So therefore, let's glorify the Lord even in the fires. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd give us strength. I pray that you'd give us hope. I pray that you'd give us faith, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you talk to our hearts. Help us, oh Lord, to give thee the glory, the praise, the admiration. Oh Lord, oh God, the exaltation. Oh God, all that is so due thee, Lord. And oh God, even the fires. I pray that you'd help us to exalt thy name. Oh God, to give thee the praise, the glory, knowing that you will be with us even until the end of the world. Oh God, your promises are yea and amen. Oh, thy counsels are of old faithfulness and true. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. There's hope in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our melodies of praise hymnal to number 59 and sing When We See Christ, number 59. Times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials when we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So brave.
This day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past will cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished, will lay our burden down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all. Be safe out there. Have a wonderful evening. Praise the Lord.